Okay, good morning, everyone. You get a lot of Schar Halicha for coming to the shiur this morning. There's going to be no shiur for the next 2 weeks after this week. The next 2 weeks is going to be no shiur. A little vacation. So Parsha Shmos talks a lot about the birth of Am Yisrael, and that's the general topic that I want to speak about. Of course, things started, the Am Yisrael started really with a lot of tzaros. A lot of difficulties. If you open up the Chumash, we've spoken about this in many different contexts, many different years. The Maharal takes a similar approach to the other approaches we've seen in different years. The Torah talks about the progression of the servitude that happened in Egypt, different stages. And the Maharal is always very sensitive to language, very sensitive to different uses of language. Let's take a look already on page 153, the very first psukim. So, Vayakam el Chadash al Mitzrayim. So, what's his plan? He does as follows. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayasimu alav sarei misim l'man anos obisiv losam. So, the first thing is there's taxes. Then, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farech. Then there's back-breaking labor. Stage three is Vayimaru es chayeim avod akasha. They made their lives bitter. So one of the salient points of the Maharal's commentary throughout the entire Sefer Shmos, the Maharal really gets a little bit deeper. The Maharal had a plan to write different Sfarim in conjunction with different holidays. And he started the plan and he accomplished much of his plan. So, of course, there's a running commentary of the Maharal called Gur Aryeh, which is on all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But the Maharal's commentary on Shmos, especially the beginning of Shmos, goes hand in hand with a book that he wrote about the holiday of Pesach. And the Maharal's book on the holiday of Pesach is called Gvuros Hashem. So basically, at least in the next four parashios, well, we're not going to have Shir the next 2 weeks, but this parasha and Bishalach, so a lot of what the Maharal writes, he elaborates further on in the book Gvuros Hashem. Gvuros Hashem is all about the holiday of Pesach. The Maharal also wrote a sefer on the holiday of Shavuos called Teferes Yisrael. That's all about Talmud Torah. So we're going to be going back and forth between the Maharal's commentary to Shmos and the Maharal's commentary in Gvuros Hashem, which is a book that he wrote. And the Maharal, aside from his book Gvuros Hashem, which is a book all about the holiday of Pesach, he also wrote a commentary to the Haggadah of Pesach. So all these things are going to be intertwined. So I'm starting off here on this pasuk with a comment that the Maharal writes in his book Gvuros Hashem. Now, in the book Gvuros Hashem, he's commenting on the bracha that we make at the end of Magid. I also apologize, my throat is bothering me a little bit, so I'm not going to be able to speak in the same way that I usually do. I got the tea here to try to help that, and I'm going to do my best. Sometimes I think I get it like on the plane back from Israel. You know, there's all those germs in the plane there. But anyway, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so you may remember in the Haggadah, there's a bracha that we make at the very end of Magid. Some people say it's actually a bracha on Magid, or it's a bracha on the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we say this bracha asher ga'alanu v'galus avoseinu v'giyanu l'avalayla azeh lecha bol matzo maror, right? Kein Hashem alakini yagin l'mu'adim. And then at the very end, now you can look at the sheets. At the very end, he says like this. V'hachi gar sinan, shehutziyanu mi'avdus l'cheirus, mi'yago l'simcha, u'me'eva l'yom tov u'mishiba d'gula. That we say in that bracha, in the Haggadah, we say that Hashem took us out of four things. He took us out of four things in Egypt. Avdus l'cheirus, yagol l'simcha, evel yom tov shiva d'gula. So the Maharal, in his commentary, Gvuros Hashem, is analyzing the four things that this bracha says that Hashem took us out of on Pesach time. And he relates it to these three stages that the Torah says that Paro put us in successive levels of servitude. Starting with Vayasimol of Sarei Misim, the taxes, and then Vayavidu Mitzrayim Mitzpnei Yisrael Befarech, backbreaking labor, and then Vayimaru Eschayeyem Bavod Akasha, bitterness of spirit. And that's really the issue that I wanted to talk about. So let's take a look. They were so low in Egypt. Hashem took them out of the low level of servitude. Second, there was back-breaking labor. Mashaber is Rucham. This back-breaking labor caused them pain, emotional, physical pain, and emotional pain and suffering. Yagon, I think, means like, you know, tsar, pain, bordering on depression, sadness. So Hashem turned their yagon into simcha. And then the third level was may evel liyom tov. That's neged vayimaru eschayem. That the pain became so great that their lives became bitter. Ki hamarirus hu evel. Bitterness is connected to avelus. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Amos, that when somebody dies, it's referring to when somebody dies and someone's in avelus, and the Torah says, the Navi says there, va'acharisa ki yom mar. The Torah, the Navi refers to avelus as bitterness, yom mar. So that's why vayimaru eschayehem, when it came to like something that really affected their lives, it was bitterness. Vayimaru mar is when it talks about mamish, that you feel like your life is not a life. Like your life is not worth living. V'achiluk, he says, V'achiluk yesh, I'm sorry, Nepach liyom tov. So that bitterness was the evel, avelos, meaning lack of life, was changed to yom tov, to a celebration. Shu hepech ha'evel, it's the opposite of avelos. V'achiluk yesh, bein v'yavidu mitzrayim esmeishol b'farach, v'bein v'yimaru eschayim. So, the Maharal is saying there's a distinction between the back-breaking labor, vayavidu mitzrayim esmei yisrael b'farach, and to the next level of vayimaru eschayehem, that their life mamish became bitter. What's the difference? Ki hamalacha shi yoser mimashe adam yochel lizbol, hi avodas perach hamashar b'guk kocho shel adam, umizeh bahayagom. When a person is involved in back-breaking labor, which is more than a normal human being, or than he normally, if a person is doing work which is more difficult than he is able to tolerate, that's called back-breaking labor, avodas parach, which breaks you down, causes you physical pain, and from that comes yagon. Yagon is just you're crying out in sadness and depression just from your physical back-breaking pain. That's the yagon. Aval hamarirus, but bitterness is a different level. Aval hamarirus, magia el hachayim. That's when your life is mamish, no longer worth living. Kasha hachayim shel adam einam al min hagam. That it mamish destructs you. It's not just that you're in pain from the back-breaking labor, but your whole life you feel it. You're in such pain and such depression and such sadness, overwhelming sadness, that you feel that your life is not worth living. Akasher hachayim shel adam einam al min hagam v'zeo vayimaru eschayim u'mepnei sheha'avelus hu al bitul hachayim. Avelus is obviously that's where you're in such deep mourning because someone's life has been lost. That's why the Torah uses the language vayimaru eschayim, because the bitterness of life is when a person comes to such a sadness that he feels his life is not a life. And that's why in the Haggadah it says he saved them. They had the sense of avelus. Avelus is connected by yimaru eschayehem. They were like in mourning over their own lives because they felt like their own lives weren't even worth living. And I keep coming back to this all the time, pretty much whenever we study these psukim. compares this, you know, to, you know, the Mesillas Yerushalmi talks about what Paro's plan here was, that it started just with taxes, then it went to backbreaking labor, and then it went to such overwhelming, you know, the Mamish didn't even have the time to think about how bad the situation was. And I'm always reminded of the Holocaust in terms of the way the Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, were able to subjugate and cause our parents and grandparents to be subjugated in that inhuman way, and had to have all the feelings of how did it go from being, you know, a normal society to like to make our ancestors literally feel like, you know, they didn't have a life, that they were so depressed and so down and so depraved deprived of normal human existence. So he says, Ve'ela shlosha dvarim nitzkru b'kasav zeh hazeh. So the Maharal here in the Gevuras Hashem, in discussing the bracha on the Haggadah, he says that these three levels were hinted at in the Chumash, in the parasha that we're going to read tomorrow. First, it was just taxes. Then you have the backbreaking labor. And then it came to the level of what's the fourth level? Because in the Haggadah it says four things. It says me'avdus l'cheirus, me'yagol l'simcha, me'evel l'yom tov, me'shiba l'gula. It's four things. So me'shiba l'hanu mishu tachas v'shus acher. He says there, it's not spoken about in the Chumash, but the point that I want to highlight here, a couple of points. You know, my one of my heroes who brought here to speak, Yosef Mendelovich, we all grew up listening to the story, the incredible story by Yosef Mendelovich. His book is called Unbroken Spirit. That's the book of his life, Unbroken Spirit. That there's a difference between a physical back-breaking labor, which he was put under and other people were put under, but there's physical breaking of the spirit, and then there's the spiritual. Then there's breaking a person's will to live, a person's spirit. And even if a person's working very, very hard and he feels that the work is too difficult and he's being overwhelmed by work, so that's one level. But to have the spirit broken, then a person doesn't have a life anymore. And how much sensitivity and how important it is for a person to work on his sense of self and sense of self-esteem and sense of spirit, and even when difficulties and challenges and tragedies and all kinds of things that life throws at a person to break his spirit, how important it is for a person to retain that sense of spirit in the face of any adversity. And sometimes, right, the doctors talk about this all the time, that when a person loses the will to live, It's not only the illness that affects a person, but it's the mental state that the patient has as a result of the illness, which could often really have tremendous impact even on the person's physical life. That's what the Maharal is hinting at over here, that you have avodas perach and then you have ayimaru eschayeim. It's avodas perach by itself. It's avodas perach. It's terrible. You're in pain. You're in suffering. But if you have a good mindset, a mental attitude toward it, you could still live through it. You can get through it. But when you allow the physical issues and the pains and the things that you have affect your mindset so that your mamish have the feeling of ayimaru eschayehem, that your life is like not worth living. Like a couple years ago, we said the same thing. Last week's parsha, I quoted it in Eretz Yisrael. I spoke a whole bunch of places in Eretz Yisrael, so I have all the last 11 years of parsha shiurim to use as my material. Baruch Hashem, I try not to repeat. I try not to repeat stuff. Everything tries to be new. So, remember in the last parasha when Yaakov sees Yosef, or maybe it was in Vayigash. It was Vayigash, right? They met in Vayigash. Yaakov says, Amusa hapam. Now I can die, right? Like I remember when the Rangers won the cup in 1994, so there were signs in the stand saying, now I can die in peace. Because the Rangers finally won the cup. You see what people's lives are about, right? Now I could die in peace. The Rangers won the cup. So Yaakov, that's where they get it from. Got it from Yaakov Avinu, because when Yaakov finally saw Yosef after his whole life, he says, Amusa hapam, now I can die in peace. That's what he says. So Kliyakar there, and a few years ago we learned Kliyakar. So the Kliyakar says, I think it was the Kliyakar who says this, or the Meshachachm, or the Arachayim, one of them. But I think it's the Kliyakar who said that, Amusa hapam, what do you mean now I can die? Because Yaakov's whole life without Yosef was a life of 1,000 deaths. He died, he was dead every day. Without you, his beloved son, every day was death. So now he says, Amusa hapam, now I could actually die once. As the Kliyakar says, my whole life I died every day, but now that I finally got to see my son, so now Amusa hapam, now I could actually die only one time. So says the Kliyakar, because a life filled with pain and stress and angst, and if a person lets the pain and stress, and we all have different challenges and strains and stresses, but one of the important things in life is to try to maintain a positive attitude despite the challenges, to try to maintain, it's so important for a person's life. And the Maharal is highlighting here that there's two levels. What Paro tried to do to them, number one was the back-breaking labor, but then it was to make the labor so intense and so constant, and the pressure and the stresses so much that they don't even have time to think about how bad it is. You know, it gets so bad progressively, then gradually, Rachmana Litzlan, you can get to a position of where you don't even want to live. And that's what happened in the Holocaust too. This was the Germans' plan also, was to make life so miserable and to take away your will to live and your will to put any kind of spirit that you had. That was their plan, and there were certain heroes, the people who survived and were able to still maintain a positive outlook on life, to somehow, after all the Gehenna and horrors that they saw, and to still be able to believe in human life, to believe in the possibility of human life, and to, even in suffering, to still have a positive attitude. It's really incredible. We see that in Mitzrayim, that didn't happen on the majority. All right, let's continue. So much more to talk about here in this parasha. Wow. Too much already. Here we go. It's the Gemara Masechta Ksubos. Listen to this Gemara Masechta Ksubos. Samach Vavon Mebeis. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'isim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is talking about around the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a story happened that he was riding on a donkey, Vayotim Yushalayim. Vayu Tamidim Mahalchan Achrov. Ror Riba Achas Shashim Laketis Or Ben Gloli Bemden Shal Arvim. He saw a young maiden who was collecting barley from amongst the dung of the animals of some Arabs. He saw a young Jewish girl collecting the barley from amongst the feces, the dung of the Arab animals. Kevin Sharasa also, when this girl saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his atza b'sarav amdalafanav, amrlo, Rabbi Parneseni. So she said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rebbe, give me some food. Amrlo biti mi'at, who are you? Amrlo bas nakdimon ben gurion ani. She was the daughter of one of the wealthiest Jews living at that time. Amrlo biti mamon shel beis avich heichan halach, where did your father's money go? So she claimed that, well, her father didn't give enough tzedakah, so she lost the money. And where did all his friends' money go? Your father-in-law's money go? Well, since my father's money left, so Amrlo, look at the bottom line. She says to him, Rebbe, the Zohar Ata Kishechasamta al Ksubasi. Do you remember when you signed on my Ksuba? Amrlo and Latamid of Zohar Ani Kishechasamti al Ksubasi Shalzu. When I signed on this girl's Ksuba, Ayisi Korba Elef Alafim Din Rezav Mi Beisavia Chutz Mishel Chamia. Bacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai started crying and he said as follows, Amar. Ashreichem Yisrael, how lucky you are, Jewish people. Bizman she'osim ritzono shel makom, ein kol umah v'lashon shaletes behem. When we do Hashem's will, when we follow in the ways of Hashem, when we keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, when we're careful about doing ritzono shel makom, ein kol umah v'lashon shaletes behem. So no Arabs, no ISIS, no anybody, no terrorists. Bizman she'osim ritzono shel makom, Ein kulum of a lashon shel letzis mem. Nobody can attack us. Nobody can conquer us. Uvizman she'enos in ritzon shel makom. But if we're not doing the will of Hashem, mosran biad uma shvela. Hashem gives us over in the hands of a lowly nation. V'lo biyad uma shvela. Not only does He give us over in the hands of an uma shvela, ela biyad behemtan shel uma shvela. We even are lower than the animals. We have to collect our food from amongst the dung of the animals of an uma shvela. And the Maharal, gentlemen, one of the Maharal's many books, Maharal wrote many, many books. One of the books is a commentary on the Agadic portions of the Talmud. And this is an Agadic portion of the Talmud. So the Maharal has a book that he wrote called Chidushei Agados. So the Maharal on this Gemara says as follows. The Tema, the Maharal says, I have a question. Kimahu ha-shevach v'hodah shenas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai al-zeh. Why is this a praise? What's the praise here? What's he praising and saying, oh, the Jewish people are not doing Ritzon HaShamakom, so we're lower than the animals of the Arabs? What's the praise here? What's the praise? Mahu HaShevach V'Hodah Shanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai al-zeh v'amar Ashreichem Yisrael b'zman she'atem mosrim Ritzon HaShamakom in kolum v'loshen shel letzis b'chem u'ksheir atem mosrim Ritzon HaShamakom mosrim b'yad behemden shel uma shvela. U'pirish zeh. Listen to the Maharal's take on this. Upirish there, ki asher heim nimsarim biyadu mashvelo hu nimshach acha madrigas and mipnei, shemalas Yisrael mala nivdelas elokis. The level of the Jewish people is mala nivdelas elokis. We are a spiritual people. Our nature and our essence is our spirit. The definition of a Jew, the definition of the Jewish people is that we are primarily a people of the spirit. Ve'ein chesron shayach b'mala nevdelas. And since our essence is a spiritual one, the spirit cannot have anything lacking. Va'amala hazos davar atzmi lahem. This is integral. It's integral. It's inherent in our DNA. V'chasher ein lahem amala ha'elokis. When the Jewish people are not upholding this spiritual aspect of their essence, shehu atzmi lahem, ulakach heim b'telem lagamrei ve'einam nimtzayim. Maharal says, by the Jewish people, it's pretty much all or nothing. It's pretty much all or nothing. Either we are recognizing our spiritual essence and observing the mitzvos and the commandments and we're on top of the world, or if we are not sensitive to our spiritual essence, and if we go through a time period in Jewish history where the Jewish people in general, is not going to be sensitive to its calling, to its spiritual calling, then we are going to be the lowliest of the low. We're going to be completely negated. There's no middle of the road for the Jewish people, says the Maharal. Lakach, kasher Yisrael ainam osrim ritzon hashamakom, and the Maharal says, this is a blessing. This is a blessing for us. Why? Lakach, kasher Yisrael ainam osrim ritzon hashamakom v'nim shach lehem bitul atzma hu amal elokis. When we are not being sensitive to the spiritual side, when we are not following, generally speaking, as a nation, when our nation is not following the right path, so we're basically denying the essence of our own existence. We're denying who we really are in essence. And once we deny that, we're nothing. We are zero. V'nim shachlem bitul atzmam, hare yagia bitul lehem lagamrei. So then we're going to be lower than even the dung of our enemies' animals. It's as if we don't exist. For the Jewish people, our entire existence as the Jewish people is predicated upon Osir Ritzon HaShemachim. Achashen Nimsarim B'yadum HaShfela, Shehem Atzma B'chus HaMetzias, V'Nimsarim B'yadam, Ki'ilu, V'Nimsarim B'yadam, Ki'ilu, Ne'edarim legamrei ve'einam ba'olam. Avol madrigas u'umos ein etzem ma'alasam ha'mala elokis asher lo sakabo chesron klal. But the other nations of the world who are not strictly defined only by their spiritual godlike features, so they can go from a higher level to a medium level to a little lower to a little higher. When they get beaten down, they don't have this tremendous precipitous slide like do the Jewish people. So, and again, why am I quoting this? What does that have to do with Parsha Shmos? He's discussing how the Egyptians had the ability to how the Egyptians had the ability to lower us and humble us and put us in such a low level of servitude. So he said because when we're in a Moser Mitzvah Shalmakam, when we forget about who we are, so we slide. That's why you see all the time when people start taking small steps away from their Yiddishkeit, a lot of time the small steps very quickly become very large steps, because there's no that's by an individual. He's really talking here about Klal Yisrael in general, that we don't have any middle ground. We don't have any middle ground because, and he wants to explain, I think, beautifully, sometimes tragically, but he wants to explain beautifully that we can't get away from the fact that the Jewish people are defined as God's people. We're defined as a godly people. That's part of our DNA. The Maral says, and he comes back to this theme many, many times in many, many different ways. We've spoken about it a little bit, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more very shortly, if I have time. But the Maral says that it's not pshat that the Jewish people are just the same flesh and blood as everybody else, just we have a higher calling. He says no, fundamentally we're different. We're invested. When God, as the Maral says, when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov began, remember the Maral that we learned the Parshas Vayishlach, where Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was zochah to see Malachim because he wanted Klal Yisrael to start off in a certain way, in a certain spiritual way. He feels like we have a whole different spiritual calling. We have a whole different existence. We have a higher mission, and when we're not upholding that mission, it's not just a pshat that we're like anybody else and we're just okay, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we become like the lowest of the low because we're denying that the essence of who we really are, and we can't exist b'chlal when we don't have that. So we're gonna have to, by definition, slide to the lowest of the low, and the whole world is gonna be able to trample us because when we don't stand up for what our spiritual essence is. He says this is that Rabbi Yochanan was praising us with this. That's a praise. Ashreichem Yisrael, because that's our existence. We can't live a double life. It's a praise that we can't live a hypocritical life. By us, either we're going to be, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing, or we're going to know that we're going to be zero. We're going to be nothing. And he says that's a praise. It's a praise because it's a chizik for us to remember who we are. And whenever we see our people sliding very, very strongly, we're going to know that we're not where we're supposed to be. You know, as opposed to if we weren't like that, so we could try to make all these compromises and try to deny who we are and get away with it because we could still look like everybody else and not do what we're supposed to do. So the Maral says no. He says that we're never going to be able to get away with that. You know, we're either going to be the way we're supposed to be, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the nations of the world are going to be able to show us how low we are and how far away we've strayed, that it's going to be right away, a kick in the pants and a reminder that we have to get back to where we are. So again, the Maral here is defining that the Jewish people are, in their essence, a spiritual people. And in a similar vein, he talks in the next piece about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting, maybe I'll say the next piece outside. He says very beautifully, right? So who are these Mialdos, right? Shifra and Pua. We have Shifra and Pua are introduced to us in the Parsha. And, right, because Paro, it says, makes a decree, all the Jewish kids have to be killed. And he goes to Shifra and Pua and says, make sure you kill all the Jewish babies. Maral wants to know two questions. First of all, why, Chazal tell us that Shifra and Pua were Yocheved and Miriam. Yocheved and Miriam, right? Moshe's mom and Moshe's sister. So he wants to know, why didn't the Chumash say their real names? We know their real names. Why did they say their names? Furthermore, around the birth of Moshe, famous Kash, we spoke in past years, how does the Torah introduce the birth of Moshe? Vayelech ishmi beis Levi, vayikachas bas Levi. No mention of the names. How come Moshe's mommy and daddy were not named in the Torah? Why didn't it say, vayikach Amram es Yocheved, vayeldu es Moshe? Everybody else was born, we know who the mommy and the daddy were in the Chumash. But here it doesn't mention the names of the mommy and the daddy. So listen to the Maral's beautiful take about this. Beautiful take. Bottom of page 2. The Ibn Tamar, Lama lo hiske shem yocheved shemim b'feirish. V'yira. She'en akas maske shem yocheved mirim v'an arach aledas Moshe. We won't mention the names until after Moshe was born. She'en parashat achriya ksev ayelach ishm b'yis levi kachas as levi lo ratz aske shem av v'shem ayim. Also there it doesn't say Moshe's mommy and daddy until Moshe is born. Lama melecha ki Moshe hayem masukin l'geula mishesh yimei breishis. Moshe Rabbeinu was destined to be the redeemer and the leader and the teacher of the Jewish people from the 6 days of Bereishis. From the 6 days of Bereishis. U'me'achas she'moshe mesukin l'gula m'shish zimei Bereishis. Lo hayu avos avikar etzlo. You see, everybody else in the world, it's very important to know who his father and who his mother is, because his father and his mother are going to have an incredible impact on the person. And that's for sure true. That's for sure true. I like to tell parents all the time that the greatest role model, usually, it doesn't always happen this way. Sometimes the father is a great role model and the kid doesn't follow in the father's way. It happens from time to time. Generally speaking, that the biggest role model, right, that's how the statement goes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because a lot of times, you see, we just had a faculty meeting the other day, we're going through all the kids, and we're saying, you know, this kid, has an attitude, and his father has an attitude. So it happens sometimes. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So a lot of time, many times, right, the family that grows up in a certain way, the family is very big on midos tovos. You know, the father, he's the nicest guy in shul. He's always the guy being respectful, always the midos. So oftentimes, many times, most times, you see that if the parents have certain midos tovos, so you oftentimes see that in the kids. You see that a lot of times. So when most children are born, so who the father and the mother are is very important. You have to know, because you want to know that the reason why there was a Moshe Rabbeinu that was born was because he had a father like Amram and a mother like Yocheved. Says the Maharal, by Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't that way. Moshe Rabbeinu is the exception to the rule. Moshe Rabbeinu was muchan for his job, misheshes yimei breishis. Even if there was no Amram and Yocheved ever, there still would have been a Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Maharal. Moshe Rabbeinu's birth and life and existence did not depend on his parents, unlike everybody else in history. Take a look at what he says. He Yamamish says it black on white. Lo hayu avos of Icarus, I'm on the fifth line. Like every father who is the biggest reason for the child, every father who is the biggest impact on the son, and every mother who is the biggest impact on the daughter, all other children, if not for this father, this kid wouldn't have been the way this kid is. He says, yes, it's true. I'm not going to deny that Amram was a very holy spiritual person worthy of having a child like Moshe. That is true. It's not that there was no connection whatsoever. Right? Me and you probably couldn't have given birth to a Moshe. So you needed an Amram to have a Moshe. You did need that. I'll call upon him, Mukhrach Moshe Lavo La'olam. Moshe had to come whether there was an Amram or not an Amram. Well, lefikach eno maske shem prati kum leves Moshe lo tomar shelo tomar kinolad me Amram beprat v'mlo haya Amram lo haya olnolad Moshe. You shouldn't say that, no, you needed Dafka and Amram to have Moshe, and if there wouldn't have been an Amram, you never would have had a Moshe. Shazay, no, that's not true. Rakhu kamo shar adam. Vim lo haya Amram haya acher. Rakhu kamo shar adam. Amram was like any other person. Vim lo haya Amram, if it wasn't Amram giving birth to a Moshe, it could have been somebody else. Ki Moshe mesukim mishishim yebreshis. V'havein od yosem mizeh ki hu inyan nifla. The Maharal says, and try to understand this deeply, because this is an inyan nifla. This is a very deep esoteric idea. So I think we have two lessons from this, and the next piece is really related to this also.
Why do they say shit from Pua? In other words, even if you're trying to hide that he's Yocheved and Moshe, Yocheved and Miriam, why do you even mention any names?
Good question. I think the Maharal's point is that he's trying to hide the names of Yocheved and Miriam. We shouldn't know exactly who these people are. Shifra and Pua are like nicknames. They didn't know, they don't even names. Right? Rashi says they called her Pua because she'd go poo, 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 poo. And they called her Shifra. Shifra, no, no, that's what Rashi says.
And a strong question against the Maharal is Moshe was never raised in their house.
He talks about that. Well, actually, that's a Raya. It wasn't the parents' Hashba. It's exactly the point. But hang on, Herbie. He talks about that also. Let me see if I can get to it in the last 4 minutes. So, first of all, you see here who Moshe Rabbeinu was. By the way, and one of the things we're not going to see, because I have no shear the next 2 weeks, but the Maharal continue. I have to do this Maharal. It's like one of the most world-famous Maharals. The Maharal says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was different than any other human being that ever lived. The Maharal says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the balance between the physical and the spiritual was off in Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the Maharal says he was kvad peh, kvad lashon. The Maharal says very famously, I have a whole shiur on this, maybe I'll talk about it next time because I don't have time. It's really a very beautiful piece in the Maharal. Maybe one of the most famous Maharals ever. The Maharal talks about the koach hadibur, the power of speech. The Maharal says that speech is that area, is that function that we do that connects our physical selves and our spiritual selves. Because the words that we form when we speak come from our mind, but we use the body, use the mouth to speak. So speech is the place where you see the connection between the physical and the spiritual in man. That's why Moshe had a speech impediment, Maharal says, because by Moshe, the balance was off between his physical and spiritual. He wasn't a normal human being. It was almost like he was super spiritual, so the spirit would come out of him so fast he couldn't control it with his body. That's what the Maharal says. He was super spiritual, so he couldn't. That's why he couldn't speak. It would come out in so garbled a sense people couldn't hear what he was saying. It's because the balance between the physical and the spiritual in his body was off. So the Maharal talks about how Moshe is a different level. He was super spiritual. He was like, you know, most of us are 50% body and 50% soul. Moshe was like 90% soul and 10% body. That's the Maharal says about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why when you say Asher Yatzar, we say Rofei Chol Basar Umafli Lasos. The Rambam says when you say Umafli Lasos, it means Kosher Davar Ruchni and Davar Gashmi. That's why when man was created, right? By He Adam LeNefesh Chaya, the Ruach LeMemala, Uncle says that he was a speaking spirit. That the speech is the place of man between his connection between the. Okay, that was the 2 minute synopsis of like an hour long shiur on the power of speech. That's why when we speak, that's why speech is so important to the Jew. When we speak, our speech can elevate people. We can speak words of davening, of learning, of saying good things to people, and the speech can also lower us to the level of animals. When you speak, you can forget your spirit and lower yourself to the lowest of the low. But there's so much over here. Just to summarize the last points over here, he says that Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe, but the Torah doesn't mention that miracle because as great as Moshe was, he wasn't as great as Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. You remember we talked about that, about how only Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov was zochah to malachim, to the miraculous, because they were the foundation of all the Jewish people. Moshe was awesome, was unbelievable, was Ruach Nebiyoseh, who was different than every other human being that ever lived. But as far as the miraculous, the Torah is not going to go out of the way to discuss the miraculous when it comes to Moshe, only by the Avos. You're going to have to do that for homework. And in the last piece on the page 3, Herbie, The Maharal talks about why was it that Moshe had to grow up in Paro's house, specifically. Why did Moshe have to go to Paro's house? And honestly, it's a very long piece, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I'm not going to have an explanation that all of you are going to be happy with, being honest, but basically, he basically says that all of the highest, he quotes a Gemara, just one Gemara. Herbie, take a look on page 4. Sanhedrin, Sadechesim, et al. Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, where is Mashiach sitting? And Eliyahu HaNavi answers Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you know where Mashiach is sitting? Al Pesach HaMedina Shel Romi. That Mashiach is sitting at the entrance to the gates of Rome. So the Maharal develops, he explains that a fire burns only when you have fuel, physical things that get destroyed. So he says that holy, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu could only develop at the edge of the lowest levels of Egypt. That Paro's house was the epitome of physical, of the chumrius of the world, of the physical gashmiistic nature of the world. This was the seat of gashmius. So the most spiritual, the highest level of ruchnius can only come from the lowest level of gashmius. The Maharal says that's why Mashiach is sitting at the entrance of, again, the only explanation that I could give to this, I always say why right outside the gates of the old city you have that strip of bars over there, and you have the underground. I don't know, when it was me, when we were in yeshiva, they all talked about the underground. I don't know, I never saw it, but whatever. There's like the bars are there right outside. So because it's always one opposite the other, that the place that you have the greatest potential for bad is right where the greatest potential for good is. So if you want to rise yourself, you need a Moshe Rabbeinu who's going to be the highest and most super spiritual person. He has to bedafka come out of the place that is the, he has to, well, if you say to somebody, he has to be rejecting the worst bad that was in the world. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to dafka grow up in Paro's house. Because to see how bad the world could become, that's the drive to push you to become the best you could possibly be. That's the only understanding that I have. And the Maharal says it differently than the way I just said it.
Completely refutes what you said before about, inculcating in our children the right mitos. You understand that, right?
Say again. What did I say before?
Before we talked about, you want to raise your children, you show them the right way, you keep them on the derech, right? Here it's like, they got to be around the worst in order to be
right. Best. Right. I should have amended. Please don't try this at home.
Right.
Right? I should have amended. Please don't try this at home. Right. Don't. Right. The Gemara says, if you take your child and you put him, you give him money and you give him everything and you put him on the Pesach Bezonos, Mayasa Ben Velo Yechta. Right. If you put your child right. So I'm not advising everyone to take your little Moshe Rabbeinu and put him in Bas Paro, put him in the Paro's house and see how he's going to grow and develop and to be Moshe and Shel Yisrael. But the Maharal is saying over here something to the extent, he's saying something about this. So I'm going to leave that for home, but just mamish 1:10 at the end. Paro called Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe. Why did he call him Moshe? Ki min amayim mishisihu, that I pulled him out of the water. So the Maharal says she called him this because of the Chesed Shevodavar, and the Maharal says, Zirachei Adar Chinom, the Nosin HaTorah had to be the biggest Baal Chesed. His whole name was predicated on the Chesed that Bas Paro did, that she pulled him out of the water. Kimen Amayim Mishisiu. Because the job of a Rebbe and the job of a Torah teacher is to pull people out of the water. It's Chesed. It's to lift people up from that place of water, that place of unending water where you can drown and you can have a lifetime filled with difficulties, you can be struggling and trying to get out of it, you can't get out of it. Moshe Rabbeinu was called, that's the job of a Moshe Rabbeinu, is to pull everybody out of the water. So hopefully our Bosai, throughout this long gullus that we find ourselves, we can have the strength to realize who the Jewish people are, that we are a spiritual people. We can't run away from it. We think we can run, but you can't hide. When we're not osin ritzon shemakam yochum zak says we're the lowest of the low. We're lower than the dung of the animals of our enemies. When we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So hopefully Hashem should give us the chizuk to have that matzav ruach, to have that spirit, to the positive spirit to be over to Hashem. And hopefully we should be zochet to that time where, like the Gemara says in the Sanhedrin, where do we find Mashiach? You find Mashiach at the entrance of Rome. So hopefully, with all the tzaras that people are finding ourselves in, the crazy places and the crazy things that are happening, we should be zochet to find, to see that Orosh of Mashiach, to see that spirit come through. May it happen here. Rabbi Chanan and Akash Ramatzah Kozroch, Lazachos and Israel, Lafikha Kirbalem Tarmat Shema, Lanoch Havet Saman, Tzikor Yadil Tarabi Yadir.